Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mahindra & Mahindra conference call hosted by Dr. Pawan Goenka, Managing Director, Mahindra & Mahindra Limited, and Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy, Group CFO and Group CIO, Mahindra & Mahindra Limited. The safe harbor statement stands as follows. Certain statements on this conference call with regard to the future growth prospects are forward-looking statements which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'm now glad to hand the conference over to Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome to this momentous and very important conference call. I'll first hand over the mic to Dr. Goenka so that he can make his opening comments, and then I will come and give some added financial inputs and insights.
Good evening, everyone, and sorry for this late call, but we thought it's better to communicate with you today after announcement rather than doing it tomorrow. I'll make a very brief presentation, same presentation that we made earlier in the media interaction that we had. And after that, Parthasarathy, as you said, will add a few more comments, and then we'll go for Q&A. So the headline or the main point here is that it's a joint venture that we have formed to drive profitable growth in India and emerging markets, both for Mahindra and Ford. And in a sense, the joint venture is our effort to bring the best of both of Ford and Mahindra into the joint venture. In terms of areas where we think Ford brings in tremendous value to the joint venture is the advanced technology capability that they have. Maturity in product development. Obviously, they've been doing it globally for many, many years, many more than Mahindra. Global sourcing as the source across the world, where Mahindra's primary sourcing is in India. And global market reach and know-how in terms of emerging markets reach that they have. From Mahindra's side, the four sort of important point strengths that we bring to JV is our emerging market business model. Which has worked quite well for us in India and in other markets. Integrated product development infrastructure that we have in India through MRV and many other nodes that we have for product development. Very strong India sourcing. And more specifically, today Mahindra is sourcing about $5.6 billion worth of material in India. And with this JV forming, it will be sourcing $7 billion worth of material in India. And obviously, the Indian market know-how that we have, which allows us to be successful in India. Now, in terms of driving profitable growth, why we are saying this, I'd like to put it into six bullets. The first one is strengthening the product portfolio. We have already announced a product C-SUV that we're working on based on a Mahindra platform, which will have both Mahindra and Ford versions on it. And as a rule of thumb, I could say that when we are doing two different products in the same platform, we save 35% to 40% of product development cost for both the companies. So that synergy is very important, and cost reduction is very important. Synergy in sourcing, because now JV being part of a Mahindra Group company would have the same SSU that we have, which sources for all Mahindra businesses, automotive, tractor. Will also now source for the JV, and so that synergy comes in. Synergy in manufacturing, and the best practices that we have from Mahindra and best practices from Ford that we can bring together in all Mahindra plants and all Ford plants to bring synergy. And that will all lead to operational efficiency for the joint venture. We will help Ford strengthen the channel in India. We already started that. We have about 15 dealers of Mahindra that have also taken Ford dealership now. And growing export from India, both for joint venture as well as for Mahindra, using Ford's vast network that they have in emerging markets. Now, just to take you through the mechanisms of the deal or the JV that we have, I'm sure that you are familiar with how Ford is set up in India. Ford has two separate entities. One is Ford India Private Limited, which is the automotive product and marketing entity. And second is GBS, which is Global Business Services, which provides service not only to FIPL, but also to Ford globally in terms of engineering sourcing, IT, back office, and so on and so forth, and has a fairly large number of employees in GBS. And a lot of FIPL functions actually reside in GBS today and provide service to FIPL. What we are doing is taking out the full auto business of FIPL into the new company that we are forming. What gets left behind is the Sanand Powertrain. Sanand Powertrain caters mostly to export to other Ford entities globally, and therefore there was no sort of India synergy in the Sanand Powertrain. It has been left behind. And as far as GBS is concerned, as I said, that GBS continues to be 100% owned Ford, and so does the remaining FIPL. And many of the employees will get transferred to NewCo that serve the NewCo business. What we are not transferring right now is product development, because there are many programs that are currently work in progress, and it will be disruptive to make the change right now. But going forward, NewCo will use the PD capabilities of both the parents, Mahindra and Ford, to develop product for itself. The joint venture, of course, is 51% owned by Mahindra and 49% by Ford. The overall enterprise value that we have agreed to is 1,925 crores, out of which approximately 636 crores will be debt transferred by FIPL to the JV, which leaves 1,289 crore as a likely equity value, out of which 51% contribution from Mahindra is 657 crore and 632 crore by Ford, which is 49% of 1,289. So in short, 636 crore debt, 656 crore equity by Mahindra and 632 crore equity by Ford. That might change somewhat depending on how the debt number finally comes out. The ownership 51-49. The board is 50-50. Mahindra will nominate the chairman and also will have casting vote. Management will be appointed by Mahindra, all the key positions, CEO, CFO, but with Ford consent. And there will be many positions that will be neutral positions, which will be appointed based on where we have the best resources. In terms of closing, there are, as you know, many steps that we have to do. The very first step is CCI approval, which we think will take 2 to 2.5 months. And after that, go to the remaining process, which probably should come to a close around middle of 2020. And that's when we expect the closing will happen. So that's the overall sort of contour for you for the joint venture. Of course, you'll have many questions, which we'll be happy to answer. But before that, request Pathsathi to add some more color to what I have presented to you.
Yeah, that's a very difficult task, so I'll end up repeating what he said, but hopefully with a financial angle or lens to it, just so that you know, we understand this clearly. Mahindra and Ford are forming a joint venture by transferring assets and current liabilities of Ford India's automotive business with some debt, as Pawan mentioned, with a 51-49 stake. And the enterprise value is 1925 crores, and the equity value could be little less than 1300 crores, okay, broadly. So this is the one. Now let me move on to say I see a lot of positives for both shareholders in this case. What we are having is a profitable business, which the JV adopts best practices from both parties, enabling robust operating model going forward. It focuses on India cost for India operations for the JV, and that will borrow from the best practices of both partners, and more so from M&M because it operates in the Indian environment. Synergy benefits has been talked about by Pawan. Sourcing, product development, engineering, technology, access to global network and frugal mindset, all of them should further add to the profitability of the joint venture and the profitability of the parents. Apart from India, the JV business will focus on emerging markets to create an emerging market powerhouse. So I think this is what Pawan has said, so I'm just kind of bringing some facets which appeared important to make a repeat. Now I'll stop and open this up for question and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, Pawan Gautha, and congratulations for this. First, just one account keeping question in terms of by what date do you expect this to be effective in terms of when it becomes part of Mahindra's consolidated operation, before I move on to the operational call and other questions.
So, first of all, let me just inform everyone that we had a press conference just before starting this conference, and we had Bill Ford and Jim Hackett attend from Dearborn, USA on a very nice video link. And we had Jim Farley, president of New Markets Strategy of Ford, who had traveled to Mumbai. And Anand Mahindra also was part of the presentation. The reason I'm saying this is that kind of shows the importance that both Ford and Mahindra are giving to this joint venture announcement that we have made today. As far as when does it become part of Mahindra Group, consolidation-wise, the closing is the time when it becomes part of the group, and that is about middle of 2020, give or take a month, this side or that side.
Yeah, and I hope, Pramod, you understand, you appreciated the sequence Pawan outlined, CCI approval, and then the closing.
Maybe you can repeat, you can repeat all the steps that happened before, before now.
So the first step now is to apply for CCI approval, and we hope that the first hurdle we cross, and then the transaction then starts to get close. It's a slum sale, and all the business slum sale, and therefore all the business and all operations get transferred to the new co, and that takes some time. We hope all this will get completed by middle of 2020. Obviously, we are hoping it will get sooner than but I think knowing everything that goes, including the permission, all the everything to be transferred, we think by mid-2020 this should happen.
So, but till then, the work which you guys are doing together in terms of new product development, joint sourcing, all that will continue.
That will continue.
So that is one of the great things, Pramod. It was a very good question. See, what we didn't do is to kind of start cold. Hmm. We are not starting with a JV. We were starting with alliance, which had therefore had 24 months to continue. So many of the things, benefit which could accrue to JV or to the parent, didn't start today. Yeah, it started long time back. Yeah, okay. And therefore, your question is pertinent even from the point of view how fast benefits could accrue. Yeah.
And that's my first question. Actually, is that when do you expect the first fruits of the joint work to come in? We understand you're supplying an engine to Ford for the EcoSport. That's already what you had done even before Ford came into the picture. But since they've come in, I believe you talked about a C platform product. So the work has been on for some time already. So if you can just throw some light as to when should one expect the first product to come out from the alliance, and how many products are you planning which will have joint development work put in by both Ford and Mahindra? And if you can just talk about the potential volume or the addressable market or the segment size, what you're exploring together.
Okay, so many of these, Pramod, are forward-looking statements that we will not talk about. But let me kind of share with you what we can share with you. As you are aware that CSUV work, as you said, had started already some time ago. And therefore, in terms of a full product, that will be the first product that will come out from the alliance. And that really actually has nothing to do with the JV. That had started even before JV as part of the alliance that we had. And the second thing that we're doing, which will probably happen before the new product comes out, is the engine of Mahindra being used in EcoSport. That will happen not at the time of BS6 launch, sometime later, but before the launch of the CSUV platform. The third thing that we are doing, which is yet to be formally approved by Mahindra and Ford management, is a battery electric vehicle built on the Aspire platform of Ford. Not the Aspire that they sell in India, but a different version of Aspire that they don't sell in India. It will be based on that, and that will be the one other product. Timeline of that I cannot yet give you because we don't have the formal approval yet. The next one is where Ford will have two products on this platform coming out of a B-SUV of Ford, which will again be sometime after the C-SUV. And on the same platform, Mahindra will do at least one, maybe two products. Again, this is not yet approved formally by Mahindra and Ford. It is work in progress. So that's the other one. And then we are looking at a potential MPV coming out of Mahindra platform. Right now work in progress, yet to be approved. Coming out of an existing Mahindra platform that will be all used for Ford, not just in India, but globally. So that is kind of the plan that we have right now. Two vehicles on B platform of Ford, one electric vehicle on Aspire platform of Ford, one CSUV on a Mahindra platform, and one MPV on Mahindra platform. The only project that's approved so far is the CSUV. Others are, some are towards the end of approval, some are in the middle of approval.
Okay, great. I think, Pawan, that's a great color. And one question, then I get back into the queue, is does this JV include in their scope your SsangYong operations, and also is hybrid as a technology part of the scope of the joint venture?
So, you know, JV has nothing to do with SsangYong. However, as we look at our future product, there is a possibility that in some cases the product will be relevant for SsangYong also. And in that case, we may end up developing three products, one for Mahindra, one for Ford, and one for SsangYong, and using the same platform. You have to appreciate, however, that the manufacturing location of SsangYong is in Korea, and Mahindra and Ford will be in India. And therefore, the tooling benefit that we get for Mahindra and Ford, having a common tool, that will not accrue for SsangYong because they'll have to replicate the tools. So it will be less expensive if it is the same tool, but it's not same tool. It will have to be replicated. What is the other part, Pramod? You said one more thing.
Hybrid technology.
Hybrid. So hybrid technology is not a focus right now for Mahindra, and neither it is for Ford in India. Now, Ford may have think otherwise in other parts of the world, but not in India. We are kind of keeping the plate warm. And if there's a change in the government regulation in India or the government preference for hybrid, then of course we will jump into the fray. But right now we are not doing much on hybrid.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen, and best of luck. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, participants are requested to limit their questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, just to understand, you know, when you say technology gains from Ford, that includes technology that is already there in the India business, plus the technology that will get developed in the coming years. Is that correct? That Ford
correct.
In the coming years also, whatever technology is developed?
That is correct.
And secondly, just a clarification, like you talked about four platforms that, you know, the group could jointly work around. So will Mahindra on the SUV side do anything beyond this also, or largely the product planning on Mahindra of SUVs will be pretty much in sync with Ford in the coming few years?
No, Mahindra will have additional products that are not relevant for the JV.
Okay. And thirdly, if you were to do this venture or get access to this kind of capacity on your own, what would be the if you were to make this investment on your own, what would be the book value of this kind of investments, or just to get an idea about if Mahindra was to do it on its own, like what would be the book value of these assets, or any EBIT margins or cash flows that you could share on the Ford venture?
Okay, so it will not be appropriate for me to talk about the book value of the current assets because that only Ford should answer. But what I can tell you in terms of assets, what we are getting are two plants, the Chennai plant, complete plant, including powertrain. On Sanand plant, powertrain is left out. Rest of the plant we're getting. We're getting a supplier park that we have in Chennai and all the land and everything that is associated with this plant. So all the assets are being transferred completely except Sanand powertrain.
Yeah, but also business.
Yes, so I'm coming to that. So those are in terms of assets, which is one can value in terms of book value. But we are getting the license for all the products that are currently being sold by FIPL in India under the same terms and conditions as they are currently being accessed from Ford to FIPL. And we are getting the contract of all the dealers being transferred to the new co on the same terms and conditions as Ford has today.
And emerging market also. Emerging market also.
No, emerging market is sold. No? So it's,
yeah.
So
from a market point of view.
From a market point of view, but the way Ford works is that the NewCo or the FIPL today does not sell in the other market.
Yeah.
They they basically manufacture and ship vehicles out. The selling is being done by another entity.
Right.
The same thing will continue in the joint venture also.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to check when we look at, you know, some of the broad areas of benefit that you talked about in terms of synergy benefits, then model cycle, and then, you know, this JV itself, where should we expect the biggest contribution to come in next 2 to 3 years? Do you think that this model cycle will become much faster than what it is today, or you will have to spend a lot lesser for that? From this JV perspective, do you expect it to be profitable from year one itself and contribute to earnings?
Okay, so I will let Parthasarathy answer the last question. If he wants to answer, he may not want to answer. The other question, basically, there are some low-hanging fruits which are not of very large value, and there are large value fruits which will take longer. Okay, so what is immediate is less value. What is a little bit longer is more value. So the lowest hanging fruit is the operational efficiency in the manufacturing plant, in the way Mahindra operates their plant, and in the way Ford is operating today. As we get more into the detail of it, we will find opportunities not just for Mahindra to learn from, just not from Ford to learn from Mahindra, but also reverse, where there will be areas where Ford today in India is doing a more efficient operation than Mahindra is doing. So that will be immediate benefit that you will get that could accrue in the next 6 to 9 months to a year, maybe even before the actual closing happens, because that there could be some very low-hanging fruit. The second one in sequence of timing will be sourcing benefit, because Ford will be able to take advantage of the total sourcing that we're doing in India of 5.6 plus 1.4 now, $7 billion. And that will apply to existing products also. But the big advantage will come when we launch the new products, where the advantage is coming both in product development, where, as I said earlier, that maybe 35-40% of the development cost will be saved. And there also, since the sourcing is ground-up sourcing, the benefit of joint sourcing will be higher than resourcing what is already being sourced for the existing products. So three parts: operational efficiency, sourcing for existing product and sourcing for new products, and then new products.
Thanks, sir. Quite helpful. Yeah, on the profitability.
So good. So fundamentally, you know, if you saw the press conference, and some of you did, you saw Jim Farley mention that last year they were profitable at a bottom line level. Okay. And now even for a minute, even over and above that, I mentioned some things which I want to repeat. For example, that M&M comes and gives it ability to, you know, kind of have an operating business model, which is even bettering what it was earlier doing. Third one is just remember that the new JV also comes with some benefit that it starts with low debt, yeah, or very preferential debt which it can get. And therefore, the interest cost and the depreciation cost both are reasonably, you know, proportioned for the volumes and business that they operate. So if you put all that together, and I don't have to do the maths, you are the analyst, so you can do the maths. Yeah. So that's what he said. And over and above, the synergy benefits of sourcing should benefit the new the JV as well. Okay.
So also, if you can tell just the CapEx number for the JV, if you envision anything.
Capex of the JV, and we said so.
So, all I can say right now is that the two partners have a commitment of investing money in the company beyond the initial purchase, and the products that we have talked about, if all of them get approved, then we have a commitment of partners to support that investment, either through further equity or debt, as the case, as may be right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in terms of the stock exchange report you will get, it will mention that including the initial investment, M&M is committed to fund a maximum of 1400 crores. So if you add 200 million, let's say, if 100 million is the initial purchase price, roughly, okay, So then what you are saying is that we have further commitment of 100 million for all the products that needs to be produced. Yeah. And remember that all of it need not be one method of funding. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the deal. So my first question was to understand whether this JV entity would have a lot of R&D functions, or will it mostly be taking existing platforms or future developed platforms from Ford and Mahindra and manufacturing and selling. So will it be more of manufacturing and selling, or will there be a lot of R&D functions?
Okay, so we are going to be transferring many functions from GBS which are not in the JV today. So JV today is by and large sales and marketing, by and large. I mean, obviously it has plants and all that. But many of the resources sit in GBS. So all of them will get transferred to the JV, and JV will be a complete entity. Okay. Now, what it will not have immediately is full product development capability. Because frankly, if you were to do that, it will be probably dysfunctional, because when we have Mahindra with its whole development center in MRV, and when Ford has a development center in Chennai itself, GBS, it will be probably a foolhardy for the JV to have a complete development center. Okay. Having said that, it is not that JV will basically be riding on Mahindra and Ford for access to platforms. They will develop new platforms as the case may be based on product planning. And the platforms may not be developed by engineers who are physically part of JV, but engineers who reside in Mahindra or engineers who reside in GBS. But it will be developed for the JV and not just a piggybacking on something else that is existing somewhere else. And therefore, the JV will have its own product planning and do product accordingly. As far as sourcing is concerned, it will be like what we do today in our Mahindra automotive and tractor business, where the day-to-day sourcing is done by the business and strategic sourcing is done by a common entity that we call SSU. So in the JV also now, the SSU will have responsibility for overall sourcing, including the JV sourcing. And in fact, if we didn't do that, we don't get the synergy benefit, because there are two separate arms doing the strategic sourcing. But the day-to-day procurement responsibility will be with the JV, and JV will do the procurement day-to-day. Sales and marketing will be totally independent. There will be nothing common between Mahindra and the JV for sales and marketing. Dealer channel will be completely independent. Brand will be completely independent. And work accordingly. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir, that does. So the second question that I had was, now will this JV really result in Mahindra having to spend less on physical capacity going forward? As in, is there a clause wherein the JV, given that it has so much surplus capacity, would be able to manufacture for Mahindra standalone, or however you look at it, and hence result in lower capex for M&M going forward, physical capacity capex?
So definitely the capacity that we have in Mahindra and that we have in Ford will be used interchangeably as required. And if there is a justification for making a Mahindra product, which is not a JV product, into the JV plant, we will do that. It will be arm's length manufacturing contract and vice versa. Currently, the plan that we have, the CSUV that we talked about, will be made in a Mahindra plant, both for Mahindra and Ford. And the BSUV, as we are planning right now, as I said earlier, just to clarify that this is not yet approved, the BSUV will be made in a Ford plant, both for Mahindra and Ford. What you asked was more specifically, is it possible that a Mahindra product that is not a JV product can be made in a JV plant? The answer is yes.
Yeah. So just to give on this one of the things I was looking at, the two C's can be used very well in the JV, both capacity and capabilities. So I think, and that's a winning combination if you use it the right way.
And to be more specific, the capex requirement simply for capacity will not be there for quite some time, because together we have an equipment capacity of 1.2 million vehicles. And today the utilization is of the order of 65% or so, weighted average utilization about 65%. So we have 35% capacity available for expansion. And as you know that we have the phase two expansion of Chakan, which is already midway. And therefore we are covered in terms of capacity for quite some time. But of course, product development investment will happen, which will be lower for a platform which is shared between Mahindra and Ford.
Got it. So the last question that I had was, you know, if you look at Mahindra's presence in the PV business, it's primarily in UVs. And if you look at what, you know, Ford is doing today, their success is primarily in UVs, especially with the EcoSport. They haven't done much in terms of success with the small cars or sedans. Now, when you think about the partnership, you know, maybe 5 years down the line, do you think this JV will help you go into the other segments or, you know, become stronger in the other segments? Because right now, if I look at the scenario, both of you do UVs and to some extent with common platforms and common models, you might compete with each other. So do you see a big expansion in the addressable market with this?
Well, see, as you know very well, that the current wave in India and globally is to focus on UVs. And if you look at the product launches that are happening in the industry, almost everybody is launching a UV, and I have hardly seen a launch of a sedan in the sort of mass segment. Therefore, currently the planning that we have primarily is on crossover and UVs. However, if the market demands a sedan, then the Ford JV could get into sedans. Mahindra has a stated sort of objective that we will continue to focus on UVs alone, and that's where we will be focusing. That's the current plan. The plan can change 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, but currently we have plans to focus on UV.
And new technologies is another thing that we have to keep. Can I request that next last two questions and pointed single questions, please?
Sure, sir. So we'll take the next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities.
Sure. Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just, I mean, just to put this, I mean, I'm taking a slightly contrarian view here. I mean, the way I see it is, I mean, one, do we have any, because exports have been a big factor, but is a major portion of the JV, I think. And do we have any visibility on the tenure of export contracts and et cetera, and whether in the new products also these will continue? The second thing is, like, just to clarify, the India marketing stuff moves into the JV from FIPL, right?
Yes.
Yes. The second question answer is
yeah.
And just to complete this, so the way I see it, I mean, you're not really running short of capacity. And earlier you already had this alliance whereby you were collaborating and you were getting all those benefits anyways. So the way I see it is just ending up buying these manufacturing assets and putting them in a JV. I mean, I don't really see what is the advantage here for M&A.
Okay, all right. I think we'll have to spend a little bit more time with you separately to spell out the advantages. But see, when we do things as two different companies and when we do things as equity partnership, this is a very different level of cooperation and collaboration that can happen. Okay. When you talked about what is it, first thing was
export contract.
Export. So let me talk about export first. Ford is the largest exporter of passenger vehicles from India. Okay, and if you look at the manufacturing that various auto companies do, Ford is number four in India, not number seven as most people think about because of the domestic market share. The 1, 2, 3 still remain the same, but number four becomes Ford. So Ford has a fairly large export base today, and they continue to export well. Our contract on export has no sunset. That means we'll continue to export from India into the Ford emerging markets for eternity. I mean, it's like a going concern of whatever the technical word may be, I don't know. And what happens is that because of the JV formation, because of Mahindra managing, and that's what is changing. When you say what changes, what is changing is that today FIPL is managed by Ford. We may have collaboration, we may do some projects together, but we cannot be running FIPL. That is managed by Ford. We cannot be selling, we cannot be manufacturing, we cannot be buying. All of that is being done by Ford. In the JV, the management control is with Mahindra. So there's a full change of management that happens from the JV management, from the FIPL management today, which is done by Ford employees, to M&M management, which is done by people nominated by M&M. The CEO, the CFO, all the key positions will be nominated by M&M. Okay? So that's the huge major difference that happens. And because of that, we expect that the cost will come down and that will therefore reduce export pricing and therefore that will increase export volume. And in fact, from Ford's viewpoint, that is one of the very big advantages they see in it. If you're able to sell export vehicles without compromising with the profitability of the JV at a lower price than what we are able to do today, then they can take the export volumes higher. So export volume is a big opportunity, and Mahindra being able to manage, and what Ford has said very clearly in public domain is that they want Mahindra, who have quote-unquote perfected the emerging market business model, to be managing this JV so that they can bring that advantage into the JV. Overall financial performance, operational efficiency and so on.
Yeah. So I just want to give a kind of example so that, you know, this doesn't... Let's take, for example, Punjab Tractors and Mahindra that we got. When we got Punjab Tractors, it was kind of inducing the same kind of principles. What happened to M&M is that M&M's overall profitability improved and Punjab Tractors profitability quadruplated or whatever it is. And when we put together, you couldn't get the breakup, but you remember for the last 12 or 14 years, it has been a 100% plus ROC business. Yeah. So I think there is a lot of benefits that can come from if you do operational efficiency, management, and sharing of a platform cost. And I think all of the above are envisaged in this case. Okay.
Okay. Last question.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Hitesh Goyal from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking my question, sir. So I just wanted to understand the capital allocation strategy here, because, you know, earlier we had bought Sangyong Motors and we invested in Sangyong as well. And we were talking about joint development in Sangyong and bringing our products in India with Sangyong Motors. So now this another JV that you've done with Ford, I understand the export angle that you get more visibility in export. But in India, I don't see Ford has any, you know, major reckoning in India to really go and buy assets of Ford, where the utilization levels are much lower, the cost is much higher. It will take years before you can, you know, bring it to the M&M level. So just want to understand, how does the capex allocation change here? Does your standalone capex come down with respect to what you're investing in Ford? So just give us some sense on how much you're investing in standalone, Sangyong and Ford JV for us to understand that.
So I think, again, you have asked many sort of embedded questions in one question that you have asked. And in some sense is the key to justification of why we are doing what we are doing. So let me talk about Sangyong for a minute first. Okay. Now, when we talked about Sangyong, we talked about synergy benefit that we will get. We have already sort of talked in this forum that we now have developed common engines between Mahindra and Sangyong, both petrol and diesel. And in fact, one engine is identical and other engines are variants of the same engine, where we have achieved 2 to 3% material cost saving because we have a common sourcing for Mahindra and Sangyong of that engine. Okay. XUV300 product is based on Tivoli of Sangyong. And as you will agree with me that this is a product that has really Korean engineering and Korean fit and finish compared to the previous products of Mahindra. And Altroz G4, which is again taken from Sangyong into Mahindra, allows us an entry into a premium segment in SUV. So the synergy benefit that we had talked about in terms of sourcing and in terms of product development are very much intact with Sangyong. In fact, sometimes it doesn't get counted when you talk about the value that we have derived from Sangyong, but it's a fairly significant value that has come to Mahindra because of this. Okay. Now, when you come to Ford, the benefit that we can get with Ford are higher than what we can get for SsangYong because the location is same. In SsangYong, we're still constrained because one is in Korea-centric and one is India-centric. Here, both are India-centric businesses. And that allows us a lot more synergy in product development, a lot more synergy in tooling and fixtures, a lot more synergy into sourcing because the sourcing can be literally from the same source, both for Mahindra and Ford. So, to say that it will take you years to get the benefit or bring the cost down to Mahindra level, I will have to disagree with that statement because it will take one product cycle to get there. In one product cycle, we would have done the manufacturing improvement, we would have done the sourcing the Mahindra way, and we would have done the product capex the Mahindra way. So CSUV, which is one product cycle that is happening right now, would probably by the time we get done with CSUV, we would have harnessed most of the synergy benefit, and as we go do more and more products, we will harness more benefit. And again, going back to what Patsati said earlier, that the FIPL is already PAT positive in the last year. Okay, so it's not like there is a general perception somehow that that Ford is a money losing business. The fact that they are PAT positive for last year, and it was mentioned earlier by Jim Farley in the press conference that they were EBIT positive for 3 years, last 3 years. Okay, so this is obviously a data that only Ford has. Only Ford can talk about. We cannot. I'm only repeating what Jim Farley said in the press conference. 3 years EBIT positive, last year PBT positive or PAT positive is what the business is today. So it's not like we're taking a business that's in crisis and it's going to take us many years to convert it to a profitable business.
So done. Okay. So can we end with a thanks? We understand it's very late in the evening for you, for many of you. But thank you very much for joining the conference. Hand it back to the convener.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Mahindra & Mahindra, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.